want to commend the men who have led us in worship this morning. They've done an effective job of that and has made ultimately what I do this morning an easier thing. So I appreciate their efforts very much. It's good that you are with us today. We do have those who are visiting with us, as we do from time to time, and we're glad you're here. It's a privilege to have you, and we certainly invite you back to be with us in our worship together at times in the future. A couple things before we get into the lesson this morning. Had the opportunity to eat lunch with Greg Gravett on Friday. I was up in Cincinnati, had lunch together, and their plans for moving to Brazil are coming along nicely. Get to spend a little bit of time with him, and they're anxious to get all that done forth to make their plans to move to Brazil. The other thing, our family will be out of town next. Have a grandmother and an aunt, two aunts who worship there, and they'll be supporting us some in the work that we'll be doing back sometime late Sunday night. And so keep us in mind as we will that trip next Saturday. Last Sunday night we had a storm-shortened service, and so I had cut my lesson short and said at that time we would review just a little bit this morning, then we'd move on into the applications that I wanted to make of what we had discussed. We began last Sunday night by talking about the fact that very common things, but very needful things, can become fairly repetitious to us. They can get us to a point where we fail to appreciate what we have and the things that have been provided to us simply because they're so common. One of the illustrations I gave of that is you go through a thunderstorm and the lights go out. And so you're wandering through the house, and from time to time you might find yourself flipping a switch expecting a light to come on, because that's what always happens. The light always comes on. And we tend to just kind of take that for granted, that when we flip that light switch, something's going to happen. And I think that gives us makes that point. Here we are. There's something that is such a tremendous blessing to us, but has become so commonplace that we just almost take it for granted. It's a second nature sort of a thing to us to be involved in that kind of an activity. Certainly spiritual activities can grow into that same sort of thing. We can find ourselves in a situation where our spiritual activities, because we are able to engage in them on such a consistent basis, become something that is very commonplace. And perhaps we take those things for granted. And so last week we began to discuss, particularly in regards to our spiritual blessings, the blessing of worship, the opportunities that we have to come before God and to offer our service to Him, even as we have done this morning. There were several things that we talked about last Sunday night, and I just want to briefly go over those for those who may not have been here at that time. But we talked about, as we consider worship, the concept of reverence must be a part of our worship to God, because ultimately we find ourselves before the throne of God. We talked about some passages from Leviticus chapter 6 where God establishes with Israel, "You are to reverence my sanctuary." It's the idea that as the priest, as they came into His presence, they were to realize that was a situation where they were to have complete reverence and awe for the situation that they found themselves in, being in the presence of God. We read a passage from Revelation chapter 5 where it talks about the prayers of the saints in this great scene that is being depicted before our eyes of the throne of God and of the worship that is taking place there. And the idea that our prayers are in the presence of God as we consider what we do from time to time in our worship to Him. It's a picture for us of an exalted scene, a scene that we have the opportunity to be a part of because God has granted us that spiritual blessing through Jesus Christ. We read from the book of Ephesians in chapters 1 and 2 and 3, and the concept that we have been raised to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it's this scene that what is taking place in this building, we said last week, is the building itself is not hallowed in any way, but certainly the things that take place within it as we offer our worship before God, those are hallowed things. They're reverential things, things that we must take very seriously as we consider our relationship with Him, because we have been raised through baptism to spiritual life. We sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been raised to a new plane by which the things of the world are things that we have put aside, and we are focused on spiritual things and spiritual life, which only takes place in the heavenly places. And what a wonderful thought it is that God has granted us that tremendous blessing. Reverence is demanded as we consider our worship before God. Not only do we talk about reverence, but we talk some about preparation. We began by considering the priest of the Old Covenant. And in Leviticus, as you consider chapter 8, and we're not going to turn there, the point was made in Leviticus chapter 8 that as we consider the things that the priest had to go through before they were prepared to serve before God, they came and their bodies had to be washed with pure water. They came and a sacrifice had to be offered so that they were pure and clean as they came into the presence of God. As they came into the presence of God, they did so in a way by which they were dressed appropriately as God had commanded. So all of these preparations went into their entrance into the presence of God. And it seems to me that there's just a tremendous example there for us. This is something by which we prepare ourselves to come into the presence of God. We don't come in some sort of a half-hearted way. And in our case, it's not so much the purifying of the body as it is the purifying of the mind. And a preparation for entering into the presence of God and a self-examination by which we look at ourselves and we determine that we are living as God would have us to live and we are prepared to enter into His presence. We read last week from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 the idea of the preparation for the Lord's Supper and the instructions that Paul gave to the church at Corinth. And one of the things that he did is he told them to examine themselves. They needed to examine what they were doing. So that as they came into the presence of God, they were prepared for that. It meant thinking about it and making sure that they were what they ought to be before they came and partook, as we do of the Lord's Supper, of the peace offering, saying that we are at peace with God. We are in a relationship with Him, and we are joining with Him in partaking of this sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 5, as you consider some of the things that Jesus said, it's a similar idea. If you come before the altar and you realize that you have something against a brother, you leave your gift, you go and make it right with your brother, then come back and offer the gift. What is that? That is nothing in the world but preparing yourself to worship God. And the lessons are there for us as we consider what we do in our service to Him. We must not come before Him in some sort of a half-hearted way by which all of a sudden we're scrambling around and the next thing you know we find ourselves landed in a building somewhere trying to present our worship before God. This is something that takes some preparation on our part, thought, before we come into His presence. And certainly that is an idea that we must consider as we look at our own lives and our own worship before Him. We talked a little bit about motivation. And we consider the idea that our desire to worship must be right. There are a number of things that could motivate us. We could be motivated out of simply a desire to please men. There's somebody out there who wants us to be here. And so we know if we're not here, we're going to be in trouble with them. And they're not going to be happy with us. And so we're here not because we necessarily want to be or have a desire to be, but we're just trying to make somebody happy. I think we see some of that in relation to the Pharisees. We look as they were concerned about pleasing men, and they wanted men to think well of them. And so they did their things in service to God. We mentioned the idea that we could be out here because of tradition. Our parents were here, and our grandparents were here. And maybe our great-grandparents were here, and so we're here. It's not based on conviction, it's based on what we've always done and the things that have always been a part of our life. And so it's not motivated by the things that it ought to be motivated by. It's motivated because that's what I do. And certainly some of that I think is okay, but it must be motivated by the right reasons, and we must consider that. We talked about our motivation could be social relationships. One of the things that we see in the religious world today is we see people who are just pretty much focused on the social aspect of religion. And so they appeal to you to come because of the friendships that you can develop with that church. They appeal to you to come because of the wonderful fellowship hall that they have and the dinners that they have together and the programs that are in place. And that's the draw. And so they're pulling people, not based on a desire to worship and serve God, but a desire to have this family relationship that comes in so many churches that we see around us. And that relationship is good, I think, but it's certainly not what should motivate us. There's a greater motivation. In some cases, the business relationships may tie us together. And because it's good for business, and because I have these acquaintances that are bringing me business contacts, and so that's why we're here. Certainly that's not the right motivation. We may be looking and saying it's good for our kids to have other kids to play with. And well, there's something to that. But it certainly shouldn't be our motivation for being here. We talked about ultimately, as we consider our motivation, that true service to God is going to come from true love for God and a true desire to please Him. And that's why we're here. A lot of other things may come as a result of that. Our closeness together as a part of the family of God will come from that, and that's a wonderful thing. We may have good relationships in Jesus Christ, and that may lead to good relationships for our kids, and that may lead, but ultimately our reason for being here should be because we love God, and we want to serve Him, and we realize what He has done for us, and in turn, we offer ourselves back to Him. And ultimately, that must be what our motivation is. And anything less is unacceptable. That's where we left off last week. What I want to do for the course of the next few minutes as we talk together is I want to make some suggestions that I think apply particularly to the group here. If you're visiting with us this morning, as you consider where you worship from time to time, these things might be appropriate for you as well. But certainly as we consider our work together, there are some things I think that we need to address as we consider this. In light of the concept of reverence and preparation, I think as we consider those ideas and we see the biblical need for such practice in our own worship, there are some things that we need to say. Number one, I think it's going to be important for us to realize that a timeliness in regards to our worship is appropriate. One of the things that I'm afraid we are beginning to see, and I'm talking very, very specifically to Pepper Road, and I want you to understand that, and I say these things in a very kind way. I don't mean to offend, but I make recommendation. But I think we are seeing a thing where we are beginning to grow a little lax in regards to our being on time and being prepared for worship. It is not, in my mind, a good thing for us to arrive 5 or 10 minutes late, for us to come in just in time perhaps to partake of the Lord's Supper or to be able to engage in one part of our worship. I would suggest to you that as we begin to consider worship, it's something that, while I'm not going to beat you on the head about being here, it's something where we should want to be here. And we should treat it with the proper respect and reverence. We must come to understand what we have in our relationship with God. And we have the opportunity to come before Him. That should not be something that is treated lightly. It is something by which we must prepare ourselves to come into His presence. I think that if we come in late, it affects our ability to prepare our minds and our hearts. Because typically if we're late, there are a lot of things that have happened prior to that have caused our mind to be in absolute turmoil and scramble leading up to our entrance into the building. If we have prepared ourselves and our thoughts are focused on what we must do today in our worship to God, then I think naturally our preparation would be such that we will be here in a timely fashion. I would suggest to you that if you come in late, it's disrupting to others who are seeking to worship God. It is disrupting to hear the door slam, or to hear the car engine rumbling, and to hear that door slam as somebody comes in. And we think, well, I wonder who that is. Or, wow, somebody's late. And it focuses our minds not on where they need to be focused, but rather it focuses on our minds on things that absolutely have nothing to do with worship to God. And what a tragedy it would be if by your actions you cause someone else to not be focused as they should. And so as we consider this, I would recommend to us that we think about our practice. We think about the things that we are doing, and we think about our worship to God, and we make the proper preparation so that we can be here. Now let me be very frank with you in saying there are going to be times where it can't be helped. Times where a child gets sick or something happens that just absolutely throws us behind on our schedule, that's acceptable. But I would suggest to you that doesn't need to be the practice. We don't need to allow that to become a habitual thing. Instead, we seek to serve God and come before Him in a timely fashion. The other part of this is staying until the end. I think it's very easy for us to consider some aspects of our worship and say, well, things are pretty much over at this point, and so we leave. But I would suggest to you it's important for us to be here. Again, it's distracting if someone gets up and leaves. It throws everybody else for a loop to some extent. And so I would suggest to you that unless there's just some absolute reason why you can't be here until the end, why would you want to leave? Why would we want to leave the opportunity we have to be before God? and to worship Him. The passage that Ross read this morning as we prepared our minds for the table was particularly from Hebrews chapter 10. It is a discussion of the comparison that we have as priests in the kingdom of God to the priestly service of old. And the fact that our bodies must be washed with pure water. And as we come before God, we have this opportunity to be in His presence. It's not this kind of thing where we're beating each other over the head with, you've got to be here, you've got to be here, you've got to be here. What we must come to realize is what God is offering to us. And if we truly appreciate that, we have to come to a point where we say, why wouldn't I want to be here? And why would I possibly want to leave before it's over? If we love God, and we appreciate what He is offering to us, then this concept of worship will be one that we take very, very seriously. We will demonstrate the proper respect and the proper reverence for Him and for the opportunities that are provided to this group of people to be around His throne. I would suggest to you that as we consider our worship, we must do our very, very best to put aside distractions and concentrate on Him. In this group, distractions are numerous, and in many cases, they can't be avoided. That's because they're kids here. And that makes things difficult from time to time, especially for those who are parents. But I would suggest to you that in any way we possibly can, we must do our very best to limit those distractions as much as possible. And so, as we consider that, may we do our best to teach our children what worship is all about. And the kind of behavior that we must use as we come together to worship God. That's not only going to be beneficial to us as we consider our own worship, but ultimately it's going to be beneficial to them as they look down the road and as they come to a greater appreciation of what God has provided through Jesus Christ. But I also think that typically we look at the beginning of our service as the time when we come through the door or when we finally take our seat. I would also suggest to you that we need to avoid the distractions that can draw our minds away from what we're doing before we get here as well. If we get up on Sunday morning and we're basically filling our minds with all of the latest news and all of the things that may be going on through the course of the day, and our day is so planned and packed full that we can't even hardly begin to think about how we're going to get it all done, and then we're rushing around and we're scrambling around getting things ready, and then all of a sudden we hit the door, the question is, have we been able to prepare our minds for what's about to take place? Have we gone through this self-examination process that I think Paul encourages us to do as we consider 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and as Jesus encourages us to do as we consider Matthew chapter 5? Have we been able to prepare ourselves in order to come before God? We must realize that as we consider the worship that we offer to Him, that's the most important part of the day. And if somehow we fail in regards to that, we have failed in regards to our greatest responsibility that we have on this day. And so we must be people who are seeking not to find distractions, but are seeking to focus our minds on what God would have us to be and on the relationship that we have with Him. And so as we come before His throne, we have prepared ourselves properly. We find ourselves in a situation where we've overfilled our day to a point that we can't focus, we certainly have done ourselves no favors. And so distractions, if they are kept to a minimum, will certainly help us as we come before God. I would suggest to you this morning that we need to be people, and we've dealt with this some, but people who appreciate the opportunity and are thankful. When you really appreciate something, it tends to not grow into this habitual sort of a service. When something is important to you, and when you understand the importance that it has in your life, and when you are just overwhelmed with the opportunity that's presented to you, those things don't tend to grow routine. And that's the kind of attitude that we must maintain towards our worship. We must not let it become something that is rote. It must become something that is absolutely overwhelming to us every time we enter into the presence of God. Because the truth of the matter is, there's nothing that we've done to deserve being here. It is something that God offers to us as a tremendous blessing. As we consider what God has done for us, we must come to realize that God doesn't need our worship. He's God. He created the heavens and the earth and us and all that we see around us. He is God. Why in the world do we come to a point where we think God needs us to be here? It's not that God needs us to be here. It's that we need to be here to be what God would want us to be. We need to be here to draw the encouragement and to feel the closeness with God that we can have as His children. We need to be here. May we come to understand that. We do God no favors by walking into this building. God has done us all of the favors by allowing us to come into His presence. May we realize the awesome nature of our responsibility to Him. May we realize that He has allowed us to enter into His presence. May we do so with joy, and may we do so with thanksgiving. May we do so with a heart that is filled with love for what He has accomplished through Jesus Christ that makes this even possible. May we not come to a point where we take it for granted or where we even put it aside altogether. But rather, may we appreciate what He has done. And may that thought be in our minds every time when we walk into this building or wherever we are where we're going to be worshiping God. It's an awesome thing that He has given to us. May we fight off complacency, and may we always think about the privilege that we have to be in His presence. So many of these things can be related to commonplace examples. If we had the opportunity to meet, and we've used this before, with one of the great heroes of our day that we want to see, and that opportunity is extended to us, how would we act? What would we do? If a set time had been given when we were going to meet with whoever it was, and there's the time, and we know when it is, and we know where we're supposed to be, I suspect that in most cases, we would make sure that we made all the preparations so that we could be there on time and probably be there early. We would enter into the presence of that person with some degree of awe. And certainly with a degree of appreciation for the very fact that they're allowing us to come into their presence. If we would treat one who is just like us, human sinner, if we would treat them with that kind of respect, why would we not so much the more treat our Heavenly Father? As Mark said in his prayer, Jehovah, our awesome God. Why would we not treat Him with respect that is so far and above, beyond what we would treat some human that we would like to see? But instead, so many times I think we take this for granted, and I think it's because we're able to do it so often. But what God has given to us is consistent opportunity to come into His presence as His children and worship Him. May that be something that never grows old. May we never grow tired. May we never become like the Israelites as God condemned them through Malachi as they came and said, oh, what a weariness. And they sneered at it. Instead, may for us it be fresh and new. May we enter in with enthusiasm and appreciation and excitement that we're a part of the family of God, and He allows us to come into His presence. Finally, this morning, as I consider suggestions for better worship, may we raise our eyes. Not only does complacency get in the way, but I think our physical surroundings get in the way. We're spiritual beings contained within a physical body, and we meet together in a physical building, and we drive here in physical cars. And our life is filled with physical things. And so many times those things distract us from the focus that we need to have as we consider coming into God's presence. And so one of the things that we must do as we consider our worship is raise our eyes. We've been raised to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As we come into His presence, may we picture His throne. May we picture the scene that is presented for us in Revelation chapter 4 and 5 as we look as God is in the center of all that is taking place, and He is on His throne, and the Spirit is there, and Jesus, the Lamb, is there. And you have the four living creatures who are around the throne, and then you have the 24 elders who are around the throne, and then you have the multitudes, the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. The scene is one of worship and praise before God. Picture yourself in that scene. Raise your sights above the physical confines of this building and focus on God and focus on His throne and focus on our Savior Jesus Christ, the one who has made it all possible, and picture yourself there. I suspect if somehow in our own feeble physical way we could somehow get envisioned both in sight and sound the worship around the throne of God, and that were present in our minds as we come here, I suspect our worship before Him would be far more filled with awe. It would be far more reverential. It would be a truly awesome occasion. And so for us to truly comprehend, we, through faith, must picture ourselves there. Because it is only as we picture ourselves there that we can truly appreciate what has been done for us. We're not meeting together as a group of 167 people this morning. We're meeting together with God, with Jesus, with the Spirit. We're meeting together with the creatures who are around the throne and the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. We meet with Peter and Andrew and James and John. We meet with Dorcas and Barnabas and Paul. We meet with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. We meet with David and Abraham and Noah. All of us joining ourselves together in spiritual worship before God. And as we begin to consider that and begin to picture that scene, I suspect a chill begins to go down your spine as you think about what God has done for us in allowing us to come into His presence. What a tremendous privilege it is to be children of God. What a tremendous privilege it is to be able to worship Him. May our worship be something that we appreciate with all of our hearts, that we prepare for, that we demonstrate with the proper reverence, that we're motivated by a love for God and a desire to please Him. And thus may we come together and join ourselves together in worship before the throne of God. The privilege of worship, the privilege of being raised to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, comes to those who are Christians, those who have given themselves to God. God has extended to us His grace through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice, the blood that has been shed, by which sins can be forgiven. But it's up to us to accept what God is offering. And He has told us how to do that. Repenting of our sins and confessing our faith in Jesus as God's Son and being baptized for the remission of sins. It's what Peter told them on the day of Pentecost. As we are baptized into Christ, it is then that we enjoy this relationship with God, by which we come into His presence to worship. If you're here this morning and you haven't done that, you're missing out on one of the greatest privileges of all time. You're missing out on the greatest blessing that God has ever bestowed upon mankind, a blessing that ultimately will lead to eternal life. Why don't you accept what God has to offer? Becoming one of His children, salvation, it can be yours.